White House meeting on Vietnam, August 28, 1963.
There is some indication of some relaxation of some of the rules gradually, and some release of some of the prisoners who have been taken in the past. The anti-Viet Cong operations are continuing, although there has been a slight drop in those. There is continuation of the growth of the photographs noted new in the various public buildings. We had a report the other day that General Tran Van Don had retired to a hospital. This has been shown to be not so. He is active, and his job is the commander of the army in this circumstance. The Vietnamese government released through the Joint General Staff a statement by the Joint General Staff that the military were fully involved in the attacks on pagodas and in the imposition of martial law. This probably stems from a statement that a number of the generals were required to sign last week. There's some debate as to whether it was just before or just after the actual attacks took place. But they have most of their names down as having signed and being in agreement with this. The Vietnamese government has delivered a note to our embassy expressing their dismay at the U.S. statement issued by the State Department that the military were not concerned with the attacks on the pagoda and the effort of the United States to draw the distinction between the military and the government. There are indications that the GDN is mounting somewhat of an effort to activate the Buddhists, a new leadership of the Buddhists, and the GBN has pledged that it will carry out the agreements made June 16th. They have had various Buddhists stand up to in their support, and they are returning certain Buddhists to their home areas, suggesting that, and with the assurance that they will devote themselves to religious activities rather than political. On the operational side, sir, I believe you have seen Ambassador Lodge's reply to your telegram. The telegram last night. If you'd like me to brief that, I can, or could. Aside from that, one of our officers had a contact with General Kim, who is the commander of the Joint General Staff, and he has arranged for a meeting at 8:15 our time, it comes out 8:15 tonight, to meet General Duong Van Minh, who is the senior general in the area. In this meeting that our officer had, General Kim stated that Colonel Tung had produced an intercepted message from you to Ambassador Lodge, directing that he take all measures to replace the present government. Run this down, it seems to be a crackpot in California who wrote such a message to Lodge and signed it with some rather cryptic initials and it went through the open telegram traffic. But the problem here is the President again apparently believes this intent is
seconds excised.
Our station commented in general on the situation that the
again in the first place. They apparently feel that if the right combination of pressures were put on him, that they can swing the whole. Their judgment is he'll join the winner. And this is where we have to defend. That's one of the things he's talking about. Walter, there, the agency has some ideas on this. In addition, if you will recall, there was some debate in the country team between a lot of departments as to whether the initial steps should be taken by CIA men or by Harkins observers, and that we left this decision up to Lodge. There may come a stage, and the implication in Lodge and Harkins' original thing was there may come a stage where the much greater prestige and confidence of the advisors, as opposed to a sort of an anonymous CIA man, may have a great influence. Now, you have to think very carefully about what, say, Timmy's might say. There is also clearly in Harkins and Lodge's mind, I think, in their proposal for a leak about the fact that the 7th Fleet is off the shores of Vietnam as having some influence on Dan, too. And I think out of this package, we might be able to recommend something which we, of course, would clear with General Taylor when we had our thoughts firmly in mind. But I think there is some, well, there's some, we've got some leverage.
Yeah.
30 seconds excised.
Really.
just trying to get yesterday is that further encouragement, and in fact the encouragement we've given so far, does to my mind run counter to the agreement that we under which we increase U.S. You remember your letter, President Diem, you remember the negotiations that followed General Taylor's mission. This question, this thing that's come up now, this box that we're in, is the thing that was foreseen by Diem, I'm sure, when all of these negotiations were going on. That is to say, what will the United States do in a situation in which we have a disagreement about the running of the internal affairs of Vietnam. As one who's dealt with that and who feels somewhat committed myself, question of good faith in this affair, and without apologies for what the news has been doing, I have very grave reservations in my own mind, and based on personal commitments, if you will, which in turn were based on government instructions. By putting ourselves in the position of engineering a coup d'etat, for the purpose of establishing a government with which we can deal more effectively and which we hope would give us a better basis for winning the war against the Viet Cong. Somehow in my mind, this is a bad principle and a bad precedent. Now, I know we're in a hell of a box. But I thought this was a very, very long and hard, and you asked me the other day, Mr. President, to come up with you. In the light of all available information today, it seemed to me that, Mr. Grundy put it, either we ought to try to make this thing seem tight as possible by doing what we can to get preponderant force and a quick decision. Three alternatives seem to me. That one, on the one hand, backing off on the other, which I should think would be very difficult and dangerous for the officers whom we've already approached, and we have certain commitments. And the third is leaving it the way it is and letting them organize their own coup if they've got the guts to do it. Choice of those three,
there is a considerable difference, I think, but I agree with the ambassador between where we are now and where we would go if we were to move forward in the light of Bob McNamara's comments to really make sure this thing happens and flies right. Because the actual kind of instructions shown in the CAS messages make it extremely clear that they proceed at their own risk, and that what we are saying to them is only that we will understand it if they deal with this situation, and that we ourselves see no way of having the thing work with the news. We have not gone on to organize the plot and are not ourselves really so on. The only issues really are, I agree with Ambassador Novick. I think that it's, I doubt if we would, I mean, even if we backed off, I think the generals are now so far down the road that they would go ahead. So I don't think that that's really an operation. I think that making it work, I think there are some things we can do, at least in the next few days, to try to help make it work without having the American hand show. And I know that, and both Wise and Harkins feel strongly that the American hand show.
I think we ought, however, to get back to the fundamental questions that are raised here. I must say, I find it very interesting to be very sympathetic with the sense that actions that we may take now are not taken as good faith. In view of the record that has been shown by German and the news within the last few weeks, the promises which have been repeatedly made, the fact that this plan of action was taken without any consultation with us and quite in disregard of the promises that have been made. The outspoken anti-Americanism and the attacks on the United States which have been taking place under the nose of President Kiev, I have not quite to wear myself the feeling that we've made commitments here. I think that what we have to do is to look at this strictly from the point of view of what the American national interest is. As many commitments that we may have taken, it seems to me, have been relieved. We've been relieved of by their own conduct. I don't think we have any apologies to anybody for any action we may take. Now, with respect to the three courses of action which have been suggested, the one of backing off, which frankly, I think, solves nothing and makes the bad situation worse, because I start from the postulate that we cannot go on accepting the state of affairs which have been created by President Xi on the news and win this war. I think it's certainly the Secretary's feeling and mine that this is an impossible situation, that American prestige is being damaged every day that this situation persists, where there's any appearance in the eyes of the world that we're accepting it. It's going to hurt us with the Buddhists all over the Far East. But more than that, it compromises the American position in the eyes of the world, and I think we do this terrible damage in many places. Now, the second possibility is that we let the situation develop, that having encouraged the generals, we let them go ahead. If they lose, they lose. I think this is, again, is a totally unacceptable situation. I think that having started down this course, and I think we were right to start down, I think we then should mobilize all the resources that we have to make sure that we succeed. Because I think the worst thing we can do is to do this in a half-baked fashion of leaving it to people whom we don't regard as very competent to carry through an operation which is admittedly going to be very difficult. I think we should now go ahead and use the resources that we have to make sure that this thing works. Because I think the alternatives there are quite unacceptable. And I think that if this is a matter of a principle of action, that when we get ourselves in a position where there is something important that has to be done, we ought to make sure that it succeeds. We should never encourage something and then let it fail, if we could avoid it. I strongly urge that we now proceed on the basis that the decision is made that we're going to see this thing through and going to see it successful. Because I think that to pull back or not to be willing to do what's necessary is going to result in the worst of both possible worlds for us.
And those are citizens. President, I haven't been president of these earlier, so I don't know how we arrived at this and have no particular, obviously can't express any views on that, but I do feel very strongly, just what I've heard, that if anything starts here, it'll be our show, no matter what we say, and if it starts, it's got to win. We can't afford another attempt somewhere else. First, what it is we could do here, what we could suggest from here that would be the maximum, the maximum that it could make it succeed. Then we go back, it seems to me, to Lodge and Hawkins, after considering what it is that we could do and propose to them. And then we back to them expressing our concern about the ratio of forces in Saigon. Since the forces are unsatisfactory, as they continue to be, I don't see how it can succeed. But therefore they shouldn't start, and I don't hold the view.
26 seconds excised.
Conversation. So I think that I would like to see if we could get them to the bottom of the fence. Let's meet again this afternoon. What it is, unless their position is suggested now, what it is that we could do or would suggest outside of Saigon, we would suggest to them to increase the chance of success. So I can always have at least our maximum support then. Number one, then to express our concern about the racial force. I don't really think much sense in starting unless they've got better assurance of success than they do today. Maybe they will by tomorrow. Those forces are almost 2-1, isn't it, against them, Saigon? I don't see how it can...
You want to count that, by the way. But I don't think that necessarily indicates the true risk.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that would be our concern, I think.
It's President Dr. Lodge, on the questions of... he has requested authority to use at his discretion, and he's looking down the road a little bit. The immediate future, there are... ideas about how these other generals might be swung around by actions that we can take. But looking a little further down the road, Ambassador Lodge has requested standby authority after it's going either for three things. One is to announce the cessation, authority being delegated to him to announce the cessation of all U.S. military and economic assistance through the CM new government, meaning that it would go on to the military, but not through the government. Second, authority to instruct its U.S. civilian military advisors to suspend any or all operations of assistance to that government. And third, the authority to permit U.S. military and civilian advisors and aircraft and so on to assist and support the coup group at a given point. And the fourth one, that is that this is way down the track at a given point to make a public statement there of his support of the coup group. He stresses that he would not want to use any of these if he could possibly avoid it, because the less he does it, the less chance of it being called a public government.
We ought to make clear that's why. If we believe it, as I do, that they should not permit a coup to start unless they feel it can succeed. Because I personally believe we're going to be identified with the coup if it starts, whether it succeeds or fails. If a coup starts and fails, it seems to me we've almost lost out Vietnam. But I don't see how we could reestablish a position with CM that would be sufficiently strong to serve as an anchor point.
communication with the U.S. is moving forces. Those indications that Ambassador Locke suggested and others that we can take as well, putting forces in Okinawa on alert, other moves of that kind. But we're almost powerless here to judge what actions we can take. I don't think we're powerless to make clear to the ambassador and the general that we don't believe a coup should be allowed to start once it succeeds. We question whether this one will succeed on the correct basis.
But I must say that no coup ever looks very good. If you look at South Korea, that coup, they really started with nothing, did they? Except they had Seoul. They didn't have anything else beyond Seoul. But they had, how many men? 4,000 men?
Nothing like that. Okay, so there's a few different men in Seoul.
Seconds excised.
So we were willing because they do still retain the loyalty of the officers, which now appears to have the capabilities to go on.
But I think we ought to get into following along with what Mr. McNamara said. He seems to be able to send a message now to Lodge and knocking on these. I don't think we ought to let the coup, maybe they know.
but it seems to me we ought to go back quite specifically to ask them what can be done to increase the chances of corrective action by the terrorists, because Marines are quite competent. That's really the key point in operational planning terms.
I think it's more than that, and I would emphasize, if I understand the presidency correctly, that we don't believe that coup should be allowed.
Seconds excised.
I think. producers of that says so. No.
If I may just comment on that.